Yesterday we discussed a little bit the Tosfos on Memtes on the base of Maschal Reb Meir, whether the drushes from the Psukim, the Achalta Kazayis, the Achalta Savata, is a Kebetza, or the other Tara says the Achalta is Kazayis, and the Savata means Shtia. That if you eat the meal and you didn't have anything to drink, then Birchas HaMazon is only the Rabbanon. The Ramah quotes that opinion in Shulchan Aruch. According to the one version, that Vechalta is Bekazayis V'Savata Shtia, so then if one eats bread and he eats a whole meal and doesn't have anything to drink, he didn't have Kedei Sviya. He's only M'chiv to Benchman, the Rabbanon. The others who had Kedei Sviya, M'chiv to Benchman, Atayra. So the one who's going to be the Mezamen should be one who's M'chiv Men Atayra. If some are M'chiv Men Atayra, some are only M'chiv Men the Rabbanon, so the Mezamen. Because in the days of the Gemara today, it's not the practice. The days in the Gemara, the Mezamein was the only one who said the Bichos HaMazon. And he's Moitzi the other, so he should be the one who's Mechuyib Min HaTorah. So if one had something to drink and the others didn't have, he should really be the Mezamein. Or if one had only a Kazayis Mamish, only had a Kazayis of bread, and the others had a regular whole meal, so then one of the others should bench Mezun. So Tosfos at the end points out, the end of that text, they point out that the shear for Achila for Yom Kippur is different from the shear with respect to Birchas HaMazon. By eating, the shear for Yom Kippur is Kosevis Hagaso, which is bigger than a Kazayis, and the shear for drinking is Meloi Lukuma, which is smaller than a Revius. So they say, yeah, Yom Kippur is different because the Gemara says Yom Kippur is different because it never says Lo Soch Lo Sishtu, it says Ve'inisim. It's not shezechem, so it depends. The chum had to be kaveh. What's yisuvi daita? How much do you have to eat that it should help you not to be so hungry? So yisuvi daita, the shir for achila and for shtia is different. Shir for achila is bigger than kazai. Shir for shtia is smaller than a revi. It's malo gugma. The shad is bought by brach achreina. How much wine do you have to drink? And Mechaber quotes two opinions. How much wine do you have to drink in order to say Allah Geffen? Is it a Revius? Or is it a Kazayas? Or is it a Malay Lugmav? So there are three opinions. So Tosfos has one opinion that we borrow the Shir Malay Lugmav, which Gemara has, the Mishnayos have been get the drinking on Yom Kippur. Shir is Malay Lugmav. Lugmav, the Rishonim says, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, is a Rav Revius by an Adam Beinoni. Lugmav depends on each person individually, how big his mouth is. But by an Adam Beinoni, by the average person, it's going to be a Rav Revius. So there's one opinion in Tosfos, one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that you say, Brach Achrayna, when you have a Malay Lugmav of any beverage. The other opinion is, no, that the Shir Malay Lugmav is only for Yisuvi Daita purposes. You have to drink a Revius. And then, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote an opinion that the Shir is Kazayis. Where did that come from, Shir is Kazayis? Shir is Kazayis, that's by Eichlin. Why should it apply to beverages? So Rechin thought that it's only by wine, because you have to recite Me'ein Shalosh, the abridged form of the Birchas HaMazon, by the Shivas Aminim. One of the Shivas Aminim is Eretz, how do I say, Chitas, or the Geffen, the Tein of Rim. I'm saying Geffen. If you eat grapes, you have to eat a Kazayis. The Shaila is the Broch HaKreina on wine. Is that because it's a liquid form of the grapes, or because it's wine? So if it's a liquid form of the grapes, so that's one opinion of Shulchan Aruch. That since the shear for grapes is Kazayis, maybe the shear for the wine should also be Kazayis for the Brach Achreinim. If you say like that, then that shear Kazayis perhaps only applies to wine that's made from grapes with respect to Ala Geffen. But let's say the shear Kazayis will not apply to a cup of milk. No one will say that if you drink a Kazayis, and milk is not Petoris. A maichan milk is b'toris a mashke. So that either the shear should be Well, God woke him up, but the shir should be here. It is. No one's going to say that it's going to be a shir kezayis. But in Shulchan Aruch, they recommend one shouldn't drink more than a maloy lugmav and less than a revius of wine, because it'll be a suffik bracha achreinu. So either make sure that you drink more than a revius or more, or you drink less than a kezayis. But to drink in between more than a kezayis and less than a revius is going to be a machloikas. So you should avoid getting involved in that machloikas.
So if it's less than a maloy lugmav, is the problem with bracha of not having a chal?
It'll be a suffik bracha lebatola. Yeah, it's more than a kezayis and less than a maloy lugmav. It'll be a machloikas. Yeah. So that we left out yesterday. Then we also left out this story by the Reish Kalusa. Eight lines before the Mishnah on Nun Amud Aleph. So they had the Reish Kalusa, had a big party, had a lot of people were there. So when it came to the end, the Reish Kalusa would bench Mezumim, but it was so noisy there you couldn't hear him. So even though we know they're waving flags, everybody's saying Amen, you know what he's answering Amen to, that you're permitted to answer Amen even though you don't hear the bracha, provided you know which bracha they're up to. Amen means I'm asking, I agree. So if you don't know what bracha they're up to, as I say, whatever bracha it is, I agree. That's not proper. You're not supposed to say Amen. If you know what bracha they're up to, you can answer Amen, but you're not. You'd say the benching like that. You have to hear all the words. That's what it says in God. Because it's so noisy, I did the Apshu Kuli Alma. It's going to be noisy. Lo Shami, they won't be able to hear. So you can't have everybody Yotze with the bench. So the practice was, they didn't want to make their own Mizuman of Asora. The Reish Kalusa would feel insulted. He wanted to have a big party. Everybody should bench together. They couldn't. It wasn't Shaykh. They should all bench together at the end of the meal. So if you only have a mezuman of three people, that was shaykh, though, privately, quietly. Three of the guests will bench mezuman softly, and they'll be able to say the benching out, the mezaman will be able to say the whole benching out loud in such a way that the other two will hear. But you couldn't have 10, and the mezaman would say it out loud that another 9 should hear. That would be an insult to the Reish Kalusa. As it is, the Reish Kalusa realized they kept on leaving. Every 10 minutes, another three people left. But they didn't do it in a loud fashion. They did it softly. So the Gemara says that's acceptable. That's acceptable to make a small mezuman. But they sat down b'lechatchila with more than 10 people. And the din is, if you have 10 people, you're not supposed to break it up. But under these circumstances, we say that melechatchila they knew they're not going to bench mezuman. That's what we mentioned. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that if a person, the Shulchan Aruch says the minig is that on Erev Tisha B'Av when you have the Suda HaMafsekes, so you don't have three people eating together, so you won't have to have a mezuman. Or if you did have three people together, so we assume they all had in mind that they're not going to bench mezuman, and therefore each one has a mind. They don't want to eat together. If you're going to eat together, it's going to be shlosh ochlu kachas. It's going to be a more cheerful meal. You have a whole group together. Suda Mafsek is not supposed to be so cheerful. So that's why the minig is you don't have three. And if you do have three, they all have in mind that they're not going to be mitzarved to a zimun. So Moshe said, you see from that sif in Shulchan Aruch, that if people come to a wedding and they plan to leave early, they plan in the very outset not to bench mezuman. So they're not mechuyif to bench mezuman. That's what it sounds like from the Reish Kalusa story also. They plan in advance. They're only going to have they're not going to have a mezuman of 10. They only plan possibly to have a mezuman of 3, so that's okay. Yes, so Moshe thought that's a good ride. Before Moshe was born, the Achrayim already raised such a possibility. So they say they don't think it's a good raya. They don't think it's a good raya because Erev Tisha B'Av Suda Mafsekes, so it's like an umdan in the muchach that they have that in mind. But when you come to a wedding, I was at a wedding last night, there was a whole table full of people. I didn't know who was going to stay to the benching. I don't know who was going to leave after the first entree, who was going to leave after the second course, after the third course, I didn't know. As it turns out, everybody left before me. I left pretty early. Everybody left before me. But when you look, you can't tell who's going to leave when. There's no room there in the mucha. So that's what the others, before Moshe was born, they bring that raya from Hilchas Tisha B'Av and they're matcha their raya. Anyway, so it's a shaila, based on this gemara. If they had in mind in advance, maybe the din is that there's no mezuma there. They're not starving to a mezuma. Then the Gemara has Rashi has two girsas on Daf Nun Omid Beis, according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, whom we don't pass tonight. Rabbi Eliezer says you only elevate the level of the bracha on wine to Bar Pi Hagafen, a super special bracha, if it's Yai Mazuk. If it's not Mazuk, then it's Bar Pi Hagafen. It only becomes elevated if it's mazuk. So then the Gemara says, and before you do the mezika, what is it? So then it's bari pihoetz. So there are two girsas. Rashi has two girsas. Can you wash netilas yadayim with mei peiros? So according to the one girsa, you cannot be yotzei netilas yadayim with mei peiros. But you can't be yotzei until it's yadayim with yayin. According to the other givers, it's the reverse. You can only be yotzei until it's yadayim with yayin and not with peiros, and not with mei peiros. You need some hesba here. I don't know. Mei peiros are not from the zayim mashkim. That's why. There is Zayin Mashkim that are Machshel LeKabal Tumah. Pidin, those are considered Mashkim. There's Machlokes, the Ramam and the Raivik. The din of Zayin Mashkim, Yad Shach Adam, is the Rosh HaTevis. So the Zayin Mashkim is only a din in Hechshel LeKabal Tumah. Let's say you have an apple, even though while it was attached to the tree, it rained on it many times over, but that's not Hechshel LeKabal Tumah. Even though the fellow is happy, the owner of the apple tree is happy that it was raining on the apples, they're going to get cleaned off, but it can have heksha while it's mechubel karka. So the heksha has to be after it's detached. So if it's detached, then if you have either ki yutan or ki yitain, yutan domi di yitain, okay, if you have nichalei, so then it becomes heksha lekabel tumah. So there there's a din only the zayin mashkim amachsha lekabel tumah. What about the din? There are four categories of things that have a kabel tuma. Adam, Mekelim, Ochelim, and Mashkim. So there, why do we say Ochelim and Mashkim are separate ones? Just say food, Ochelim and Mashkim, both food, because they're not the same. Ochelim need Hechshel, the kabel tuma. Mashkim do not need Hechshel, the kabel tuma. Is that the pshat? Mashkim, the Gemara says, Mashkim alulim, the kabel tuma. Mashkim are more susceptible. Kabbalah's tuma, they don't need Hechshel. Why don't you say it's Hechshel by itself? It's Mashkim itself. So that's a question. Do you say all beverages are mekabel tumah, or do you say only the zayim mashkim are mekabel tumah? That's a machlokes. That's a pretty fundamental machlokes. On a level of the raisets, that should have been a discussion in Tanaim somewhere. It's rare that you have a machlokes harishonim on a topic that's so fundamental. It should have been discussed generations before the rishonim. That's a machlokes. The Rambam and the Raivit. But the only design mashkim on the kabel tuma, or all mashkim, all beverages on the kabel tuma. They peiros. If you have apple juice, if you have pomegranate juice, whatever, all the different fruit juices are they mekabel tuma. So maybe the din is that made peiros, if you say, okay, made peiros are not machshel lekabel tuma, okay, officially made peiros are not from the design mashkim. At least they're not machshel lekabel tumah. And maybe that's why they cannot be used for netilas yadayim. As opposed to yayin, that's one of the zayin mashkim. So yayin would be, does have a din on mashkim. So you can use it for netilas yadayim. But then the other gear says everything just the reverse. That it would be bizoyin ochlim, to use yayin, to use the ayin for the tilts time. So how comes Zoyin Oichlan by May Paris? I don't know, Mr. Rishonim don't explain too much over here. But that's an important machloket. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you can use May Paris when the tilts are done. Two girsas in the Gemara. We had a discussion when we first started the Ketzel Melachim on Daf Lamehem and Alt, the very first day of the Shir this year, regarding the nature of the din of Michas Hanenin. We had some Michas Hanenin is the Rabbanon. The Pnei Yeshua had a suggestion that maybe it's a din deraisa, because the Gemara said Svarahu, and the Gemara and other Mesichtim says whatever is a Svara is a din deraisa, even though there's no Pasuk at all. Lama they cross Svarahu. So the Gemara said it's a Svara. Also, Nahanis Madala Mazai Balai Bracha. So does that mean Tak it's an Iser? It's an Iser to eat food without saying a Bracha? Maybe it does mean it's an Iser. Maybe it means it's a mitzvah to say a Bracha. And if you on purpose don't say a Bracha, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah the Rabban. But maybe it doesn't really mean that it's also. Maybe it means you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara says, one who eats food and he doesn't say a bracha, here's the second line from the top, on Baman Hanna base. Top line. What is he stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi says he's stealing the bracha. Why didn't he say he's stealing the food? He should have said he's stealing the food. Say, see, it's not. The Gemara said, Lashem Haaretz Melah Tevel V'yesh V'yvot. Everything in the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other pasuk says, HaShamayim, Shamayim, Hashem. Or it's not son of the Yodim, Kagifayim, Brochim, Kan Lacha, Brochim. So it sounds like he's stealing the food from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an Iser. It's an Iser not to eat food without a Baruch Hu. Rashi says, no, he's stealing the Brochim. He should have done a mitzvah. So it sounds like Rashi is going out of his way not to learn Poshe Pshat in the Gemara. Poshe Pshat not stealing the Brochim. He's stealing the food. So the Pashtas and Rashi sounds like they never will misaken it as an Isser. They'll misaken it as a mitzvah to recite a bracha. That was the big we thought, L'chore, that's the machlokes of the Rishon, whether Misha Mesim Wut Telefon of an Oinen is not allowed to do Isurim, but he's not allowed to fulfill mitzvahs. That's how machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's a din Misha Mesim Wut Telefon? There's a perek here, perek Misha Mesim. So in the first Amud and Pishmais, Yud Zainam Ebei says machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, Oisik ben mitzvah, Potaman mitzvah. Before the Kvura, he's supposed to be busy taking care of the Kvura Sameis, so he's not able to fulfill mitzvahs. But if he has a lot of time on his hands, so then there's no, he's not Oisik mitzvah, Potaman mitzvah. Then he should do the mitzvahs. And Tosfos quotes to Yushalmi, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to show Kvura Sameis. You have to demonstrate as if you're so involved in the tipul with the Kvura Sameis that you can't concentrate on doing a mitzvah. So Leitchik had a suggestion, maybe al derech hadrash. I don't think he meant it al pi halacha. He said a lot of times mishemesim utalafon of a relative dies, so the people are so distraught now during this war. Young soldiers are losing their lives, and a lot of these soldiers are big talmid chachamim and yirei shemayim and medakikin and mitzvahs, and sometimes the members of the family get so angry. So I remember just a couple of weeks ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so they asked me to go be Menachem Avol by different people who lost their children. I didn't know any of the people, but they asked me to go. So I remember we walked into one home, and the whole family were all religious people, and the father of the boy who was killed was walking around without a yarmulke. So I was very surprised. The others all learned in yeshivas. Why is he walking around without a yarmulke? I didn't say anything. But then after it turned out, this whole group was from South Africa. They all davened in a separate shul. I happened to meet the rabbi from the shul. It's Rabbi Goldbergson. I happened to be the rabbi in the shul. So he was involved with getting the father back. The father went to South Africa for business. He was away that day that his son was killed. He wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. It was all Asik how he got back to Eretz Yisrael. So he told us the father was so distraught. He was angry after the Baruch Shalom. He says, he's going to stop wearing a yarmulke now. To register his complaint against the Rebbe Shalom. A lot of times people in Aninus, Nishamesim Utalafonim, are so crazy. They're half crazy. So in a certain sense, they're a shaita. They're not balanced. A person is not balanced is considered a shaita. So with respect to lois esei, there are enough, there are balanced enough to observe mitzvahs lois esei, not to do averus. But with respect to mitzvahs esei, maybe one can suggest the according to Tosis that it's a din like a shoita. This din, Tosis quotes it. The Tosis Yud Zayinam and Beis Patam and Kriya Shema. The Yerushalmi darshins it from the pasuk Mechayecha Yom Shat Osek Achayim La Yom Shat Osek. The Mason, Tosis presents it from the Yerushalmi Zif, it's learned out from the pasuk. So Shulchan Aruch Achrayim say that it's only an asmachtam of the Rabbanim. That's not the real din deraisa. Right? Mishameis mutal upon him, not allowed to do mitzvahs, it's only the Rabbanim. So one is Mishameis mutal upon him, not allowed to do averus, but he's not allowed to do mitzvahs. That's how we paskin like that Tosfos. So the Shaila is, what about eating food without? Is he allowed to eat food if he's hungry? Allowed to eat food. So do you say he's allowed to eat food without a bracha? He's not allowed to say a bracha because reciting a bracha is a mitzvah. Would he say no? If he's going to eat food without a bracha, he'll be in violation of an avera. If he wants to eat, he's allowed to eat. So he has to say a bracha, he has no choice. So that's a machloikis, if you can call it a machloikis. Ruba de ruba, 99% of the Rishonim hold, he does not say a bracha. And then there's a Sefer Kolbo, by one of the later, Balei HaTosfos. Always they quote him in Shulchan Aruch every so often. So this one is not even quoted. This one is not even quoted. He says that the Mishnah Mesim Lutelefonim has to recite Birchas HaNenin, because it's in Issa, Asa Mehonis Menol HaMazah B'lei Bro. But not only is that not the accepted opinion, not even quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shita Sarkobo. So the Pashtus is that we assume that reciting a bracha is like that strange Rashi, goes Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's stealing the bracha. You're not stealing the food. We don't really take that literally. Shemaim, Shemaim, L'shav, Oros, Nosan, Avnei Yodam is only Lachat Bracha. That in bracha is Hashem Haaretz Mulad Tevel Yeshua. We don't assume that it goes all the food. It goes all the bracha. The Pashto says that it's not an issa, it's just a mitzvah. And if one neglects to do the mitzvah, so he didn't do right. We had the Gemara here on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis going over to Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. And we had a discussion. Someone put food in his mouth, he forgot to say a bracha. So what does he do? So let's say he has a drink. He put the drink in his mouth, he didn't swallow yet. So if he's going to spit it out, it doesn't look nice. He's going to spit it out in a cup, then he's going to say shakal, then he's going to drink what he just spit out. Looks strange. If you're chewing, if you put a potato chip in your mouth, so you take out the potato chip and say a bracha, then you put it back in. But if you have a beverage in your mouth, so what should he do? So he should spit it out, he should be oilach li'ibud, or should he swallow it without a bracha? So the Gemara says, you swallow it without a bracha. How come he swallowed without a bracha? Well, he's doing an avera. So it would appear from the Gemara, it's not an avera, it's a mitzvah to recite the bracha under normal circumstances. If he's not able to, we're not able to because we're going to spit it out. He's going to throw it out. It's going to be heard like libut, so it's baltashchis. So then the Gemara says, bolon. Hodetanya bolon, you swallow the food, b'mashkin. And hodetanya polton, one brisa says, you take it out of your mouth, and you hold the potato chip in your hand, then you say the bracha, then you eat it. That's if it's not mashke, if it's an oichel, and it's midi deloy mimis. Not disgusting. He'll hold it in his hand, and then he'll say a bracha and put it out in his mouth. And then there's a brisa that says masalkan. You leave it in your mouth, one side of your mouth, and you say the bracha with the food in your mouth. So normally that's not proper. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. Yimalei pi Tehillo secho. That's the fourth line for the top of Nun Aleph and Man Aleph. When you say a bracha, you should say the bracha with your whole mouth. You shouldn't have some other food in your mouth. Yimalei pi Tehillo secho. But if the alternative is going to be, he's going to take it out. Let's say he already chewed up. He had some kind of food. And he chewed it up in his mouth. And then he realizes he didn't say a bracha yet. He's going to take it out. He's not going to put it back in again. It's not derech eretz to put it back in. So the alternative is to take it out and throw it out. And then we say, no, that the Baal Tashchis takes precedence over the mitzvah of reciting a bracha. But l'chore, if it would have been an issa, why should the Baal Tashchis take precedence over violation of the Issa? Maybe it's not so. Maybe the Baal Tashchis does take precedence, even if he says that it is an Issa. Anyway, that's one of the sources that you have to work with to figure out whether there's an Issa or it's just a mitzvah to recite a bracha. The Gemara Gemara here has 10 lines from the bottom of Nun Amud Beis that they used to have as a siman bracha at a wedding, like by the Nochrim, they throw rice when the bride and the groom walk out of the church, everybody throws rice. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to throw rice if it's going to fall on the floor. That's Bal Tashchis. There's no Isra Bal Tashchis whenever it's Litzorech, but this is not considered Litzorech. It could be Misamech to Chasen Kala without being Mafsa the rice. Throw a package of rice, and it's not going to get dirty, it won't get ruined. So the Gemara says, Mamshich Meyayim Mitzanas Lefnei Chasen Kala. You have to be careful not to be mafsid doechlim, not to violate bal tashchis. And the mamshich miyayim b'tzinaris Rashi explained, because it's not going to be heilach libut. Nothing is going to get ruined. So this was an old minig. Didn't begin from the church. Didn't begin with throwing rice in the church. In the days of the Tanaim also they used to do that. They have a simi brocha. They should be fruitful. They should have a lot of children. Simen Broch. Molly P. Tehila Secha. The Gemara has the Pasuk here. The Gemara has a, earlier, the Gemara has a din. One is not permitted to say a bracha in the Beis HaKisei. In the days of the Gemara, the Beis HaKisei was full of Meiraglaim and full of Psoya. They didn't have a toilet like we have. They had piled up all kinds of stuff. And then after a week or two, they would take everything else. So the whole Beis HaKisei was terribly smelly, so you're not allowed to say any bracha there, it's filthy. Today, the Beis HaKisei is like the Beis HaKisei Shel Parsim. The Persians had like we had, they had a toilet, and then they would flush everything away. So the Gemara says it doesn't have the din of a Beis HaKisei, then strictly speaking, you are allowed to say a bracha. In our bathrooms, with our kind of toilets, you are allowed to say a bracha. The common practice is that you don't. So the Gemara has a din, let's say in the days of the Gemara, that you had a real Beis HaKisei that has a lot of tzoy, a lot of merit wine. A person wants to say a bracha on something else. He's drinking a cup of soda. So he has one hand in the bathroom, and the rest of his body is out. So the Gemara says, Kolatz Moshe Tamarna. Kolatz Moshe Tamarna implies that the whole body, just like over here, Imali Pi Tehila Secha, my mouth is supposed to be full of the bracha. If I have food in my mouth, I'm chewing gum, and I want to say a bracha. You have to take the gum out of your mouth. You want to say a bracha. You're chewing a ha'adoma. You want to say a shakal now. So you should swallow the whole ha'adoma and then have an empty mouth when you say the bracha. So the same thing with our person davenings. He's davening with his mouth. He's davening with his mind. He's not davening with his hands. So strictly speaking, what does it bother me if he has his hand in a Beis HaKisei? The Gemara says, no. So you shouldn't even have your hand in the Beis HaKisei. As man as strictly speaking, as a like Beis HaKisei shall pasim, so it's not a problem. The Gemara says there's a din of bizoyin oichlim. You're not allowed to be mevaza oichlim. And it's especially more important by pas. Aiba pas. It's around 15 lines from the bottom of Nunam and this. By pas, sometimes zerkam ochlim, and sometimes they ain't zerkam ochlim. So the Gemara says, but pas, you're not allowed to throw. The meaning is, you don't give people bread in their hands. You only give avelim. You give to the avelim in the hands, but if no one's in avelos, it's the meaning is you don't give the bread into the person's hand. So you put it on the plate that they should take it. If you're going to throw it a little bit, the stomach's okay, but to toss it from one end of the table to the other, even though there are plates all over, it's not going to land on the floor still. Shalom lizuk, en zarkim esapas. Other oichlim, if it's going to get midi de mimis, it's going to fall on the floor, it's going to get dirty, then you're not allowed to. So it's not going to get dirty, so we distinguish between pas and other oichlim. Like pas is more of a kpeda of bizoyin oichlim. Then the Gemara has an interesting shaila on the fourth line from the top of Nun Aleph. And I'll bomb in Abraham Chizda. Yes, Rav Chizda, quest, Mishocha v'shosa v'loi birech. He forgot to say a bracha rishayna, and he finished eating. Maoshi achsav yivar. Can he say a bracha after he finished eating? So the Gemara says, if he still has more to eat, so let him say the bracha now and then continue eating. If he ate everything that he has, he had a sandwich and he ate up the whole sandwich, has no more to eat, not interested in eating anymore. So then the Gemara has the shayla. The Gemara says, you don't say a bracha. One opinion was, afilu gomer sedosa yachsav yivarach. Even if he finished the whole meal, has nothing left, let him say the birchas hanenin after he finishes eating. If you hold that birchas hanenin, the Yerushalmi had an expression at the beginning of Ketzem Mevochen that kol hanenin v'ela mazem mo'al, because l'ashem ho'ezem lo, everything is hegdish, and birchas zui pidyonim. When you recite the birchas hanenin, that's like pidyon hegdish, and therefore you're not in violation of me'ilo. That was the expression of the Yerushalmi. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always assumed like that, that it's an Issa. He spoke about his pshat. What was Yehuda Gensen? So that's, if you're all like that, what do you gain by saying the birchas hanenin after you finished eating? It's matel lemafreya. I already ate the food, but I forgot to say brachas, so it could be matel lemafreya. On the level of the raisa, there ain't no such thing as being matel lemafreya. Let's say somebody ate tevel, and then he has a lot of tevel left, so he'll be mafresh, chumas and maestras, on what he ate and what he's going to eat. So it doesn't help on what he ate already. But chalas chusla, the gemara says, echa behalach, is only mid the rabbanon. That's how the Gemara has two versions in Ksubis of all places. Maseches Ksubis, second parak. So we pass on even chalav is manazen eretz is only the rabbanon because there wasn't the bias kulchem. But vayachem el haaretz. So you have to have a bias kulchem. So b'mei Yoshua benun, there's a bias kulchem. So right away they went ischayvu b'chalo. In the first 14 years, that took shevish and kavshah v'shevish achilku till Eretz Yisrael had kedusha. So there wasn't yet the chi of chumas ha'maisus deraisa. Chumas ha'maisus shmita v'yeva, that could shikrepe, only began after 14 years. But b'vayachem el ha'aretz, they were mechuyev right away in hafrosh ha'schala. So in one sense, hafrosh ha'schala, there are more cases where you're mechuyev mechala than mechuyev in chumas ha'maisus. The first 14 years, Eretz Yisrael didn't have a chiyuv chumas ha'maisus. Shmita v'yeva leket shikrapeh. Mechala was right away miyad shenichnasu. On the other hand, the Gemara says, in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there was no bias kulchem. So even though Eretz Yisrael had kedusha min ha'toyret, and there was a chiyuv, let's say, leket shikrapeh, was min ha'toyret, Zmanazav also leket shikrapeh is min ha'toyret. But the chi of chala, the Gemara says, even in Eretz Yisrael today is only with the Rabban, because there wasn't bias kulchem. So chala is chutzla, and chala is one of the mitzvah please bar it. So min ha'toyret, it doesn't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. So chala is chutzla today is a derabbanan on top of a derabbanan. Chala in Eretz Yisrael guf is only derabbanan. Chala is chutzla, it's only a gzera otu Eretz Yisrael. But that's why the Gemara in Bechoris has a whole list of kulas. So one of the many kulas is echa b'chaylech v'acharkach mafrish. Let's say I buy a lot of kosher bakeries, are careful, they won't put in any trefa ingredients. Religious people, they won't put in non-kosher ingredients. But they have a bung in their head. They have the attitude that you only mafrish challah sometimes. Have the attitude only mafrish challah if you're making challah for Shabbos and you're making bread, you're not the mafrish challah. And others have the attitude, no, whenever you're baking bread, you have to be mafish chalav. Whenever you're baking cake or cookies, you don't have to be mafish chalav. So both of those alpi pashtas are wrong. One by the bread is absolutely wrong. All bread is chayv and chalav, even if it's not chalav for Shabbos and Yom, even if it's bread. One by cake and cookies is such a problematic, orach ha-shulchan. The quotes are problematic, Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina. It sounds like that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah said, but that seems to be against all the Mishnahs. Pashta, we don't accept that opinion. We assume that cake and cookies are chayiv. Achayiv chala, same as bread, also called lechem. It's a subcategory of lechem. It's pasal babi kisni. So with respect to netilas yadayim, with respect to hamotzi, or respect hamotzi versus mezonos, or with respect to birchas hamazon versus alamichya, So that depends whether you're kaveh suda or not kaveh suda. But it is called lechem. For all other intents and purposes, it is called lechem. Take, for example, pasakum. The Chachamim made exer the rabbanim. Not allowed to eat pasakum, but pas palter. Many are noig lohakil. If he's a palter, he sells to everybody in the neighborhood. He's not my next door neighbor. So Tosu says in the second parak in Beitza, it's put in Yoridei Lahaloche, that not only is pas palter mutter if it's bread, even if it's cake and cookies also. If you would have been kaveh suda, you would have treated it like bread. You would have had a wash and say, I'm until it's a diamond. I'm not saying, even though you're not being kaveh suda. Erube chatzeris, eim aron ela bipas. So how can you make an erube chatzeris? We always make erube chatzeris with a box of matzah, so it should last longer. But the Sfardim say, it's only some matzah. You have to use, for erube chatzeris, you have to use lechem shon rochem olabam. So the answer it is, the Gemara says you can use. Pasa babikis, the famous Gemara brachas. So why is that? The answer is because once in a while you do say, if you're kaveh suda, the cake and the cookies, then it becomes hamaitzi. So it is pas. It's a subcategory of pas. And the Rambam shita is that matzah shira on Pesach night, you can't use matzah shira. You have to use dafke lechem shemirachem all of hamaitzi. But the Rambam writes, if you mix in other meperis into the matzah, that's not lecha, that's not called matzah shira. The Rambam shita, only the four mashkim that the Gemara says, Yain, Shemen, Dvash, and Cholov. These are the only four mashkim that make matzah shira. All the others are good. I but it's bari mini mizoyna. So the answer is, but if you would have been kaveh suda, would have been amoytzi. And matzah says, lechem oyni, has to be called lechem. You have to be amoytzi lechem. So it is called lechem.
I think Yitzchak Shilat showed that they found in the Geniza that the Rambam crossed out that he was with May Paris, that he was Choserbo later, and they found that such a tshuva in the letters of his son. Yeah.
Good to know. Thank you. Never heard of that one. Very good. Okay. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik would sometimes talk about a machlokes, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. He would say, you know, the Rambam backed out, but before he backed out, he was also the Rambam. So it's like a machlokes, the Rambam and Rashi, Rambam and Benetam. So the Rambam and the Rambam. You also have to discuss the two versions of the Rambam. Okay, good. He backed out is good. So the more thought over here. So one of the many kulas by Chalas Chutz Lortz is Echav Ha'olach V'Chakach Mafish. There are a lot of kosher bakeries where they're very lenient. They won't be mafish chalat. That's a big machlokes. Let's say you have a batter that pours. You don't have a dough that you kneaded, and then you have to pick it up and put it in the pan. You pour it. It's called a batter. So there's a tshuva avneneza and others, they hold mikra, and then you're not mechuyev to be mafresh chala. If there's a batter, you have to have dafke alisha. You have to have a blila ova. If you have a blila raka, it's not chayim and chala. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik told his mother, he heard from his mother that when she got married, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik told her that in chalas chutzlot, you can be mekel, you don't have to be mafresh chala. If it's a batter, only if it's a dough. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it like that. So many don't have that practice. So the din is, you can buy from that store if you know that all the ingredients are kosher. Just they weren't mafresh challah. So if you live in Chutzlah, Echav Ha'olach, V'chakach mafresh. Means it is an Issa Tevel, but you can be matter the Issa Tevel of mafresh. So here also, the first opinion was, Amar Avid Hilka, Chafilu Gama Sudasa, Yachzav Yibarach, that's around eight lines from the top of Nun Aleph Nun. The person finished eating the whole meal, he forgot to say Hamoitzi in the beginning. He forgot to say whatever, Bar Pi Adam. So you can say the Baruch at the end, and the Gemara quotes a Raya, that the Tanya, a Ger, who is Mizgayer, has to go through Mila, if it's a man, and then he has to have Kabbalahs on Mitzvahs. We learn out all the Dinim of Geras and Maim and Asinai. You have to have a Kabbalah on mitzvahs, then you have the bris milah, and then you have the tefillah and the mikveh. So that a non-Jew is not obligated. We say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah yisad v'tzivanu. He doesn't say, a bracha v'tzivanu to convert. He's not obligated to convert. But if a non-Jew does convert, then he's mekayim mitzvah by being toivel in the mikveh. It's considered a kiyum mitzvah. So he says a bracha. Shekedushanu b'mitzvah yisav etzivanu al hatvila. So the Gemara says, Tovol v'yola. When he comes, when the ger comes out of the mikveh, then he says the bracha. Normally you say, that's Himsachim Dav Zayin on the base. There the discussion is, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam, Baruch Aleim Oy V'lasi Yosem. You have to say the bracha in advance. How come over here the ger says the bracha afterwards? So the answer is, it's not true. He can't say Kedushanu b'mitzvah yisav before he's Tovol in the mikveh. He's not Jewish yet. He can't say the bracha. So that's where they're Misakim Melech Atchila, the ger, who's becoming Jewish by being Tovol in the mikveh, Tovol v'yola, when he comes out, he says the bracha. So just like you see that Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam Mevarach Aleim, Oyvel Asi Asam, but if he didn't say it, Oyvel Asi Asam, he could say it afterwards by the ger, so too, when you eat food, you're supposed to say the bracha before you eat the food. But Ravina was of the opinion, we don't pass like Ravina was of the opinion, that even if he didn't say the bracha sandani before he ate the food, say the bracha after, and that'll be, you know, if you hold that there's an isa to eat without a bracha, that'll be matal mafreya, like chalas chutzlar, zeicha b'halach, chakach mafish, you matal the isa tevel, the mafreya. That's a question. Is that really true? Is that really true? That's the pshat chalas chutzlar, zeicha b'halach, chakach mafish means in a chalas in tevel and chutzlar, it's takan isa tevel. And you matter the Yisrael of Mafreya by being Mafresh to Chala later. Maybe the Peshat is when they instituted the din of Chalas Chutzlords, maybe they never instituted it with an Yisrael Tevel. Maybe they just instituted a mitzvah to be Mafresh Chala. What's the difference whether they only instituted it as a mitzvah? And you can fulfill a mitzvah after you ate up most of the cookies. You leave over some of the cookies, let's say on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Mafresh. Shumas and Maisa on Shabbos, and Allah me mafresh challah on Shabbos. On Yontif, the Gemara says in Beitza, if you made the lisha on Yontif, strictly speaking, mitamech anefesh, you're permitted to bake on Yontif. Whatever you could have cooked before Yontif would have tasted just as good, then you're not supposed to do. Rashi learns like that. Any achal nefesh that you could have done before Yontif, you shouldn't leave it till Yontif to do it. If you did leave it till Yontif, you have to do ayde shinoi. Unless if you'll do it on Yontif, it'll taste better. So we assume a freshly baked bread tastes much better than bread that was baked yesterday. So you're allowed to bake on Yontif. You're allowed to bake cakes. We used to be friendly with a fellow neighbor. He used to bake matzahs on Pesach. He used to bake his matzahs on Pesach. That's in Shulchan Aruch. They don't recommend that. Because he may make it chometz. But it tastes better. If you freshly bake matzah, it tastes better than matzahs from yesterday. So that says in the Gemara, if you baked bread on Yontif, you're allowed to be mafresh challah on Yontif. He became chuyiv to be mafresh challah. If the chuyiv was challah on Yontif, on Shabbos it can't happen. You can't bake the challah on Shabbos from Malach. No, etar achal nevesh. On Yontif, that's after Echol Nevesh. If you needed the dough on Yontif, you baked it on Yontif, then you're allowed to be mafresh challah on Yontif. But normally, if it was baked before Yontif, or if you needed the dough before Yontif, you're not allowed to be mafresh on Shabbos or Yontif. So let's say you bought some cake or cookies from this kosher bakery, where everything is kosher, but I know that they're not mafresh challah on cookies. So I know they're not mafresh challah when there's a batter. And it's a machlekes, where the supposed to Shulchan Aruch says you are mafresh challah, even on a batter. Doesn't say this kula. The chalas chutzlots you make, or Abchaim Soloveitchik held like that. Avner Nezer says like that, but not everyone agrees. So then you can leave over it till after Yontif, then be mafresh chalas. So that's a shaila. Does that mean that it's matel mafreya? Or maybe it just means when they introduce the mitzvah of chalas chutzlots, they only introduce it as a mitzvah. There is no iser tevel. Maybe never introduce an iser tevel. So that's a big machloekes. If you look in Hilchas Pesach, what do you do if you have Erev Pesach Shcholias b'Shabbos and you baked chometz dik chalas for Shabbos to eat in the morning, to eat Friday night, to eat in the morning, and the balabasta forgot to be mafresh challah on Erev Yontif, on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be mafresh challah on Shabbos. even chalas chutzlort. You're not allowed to be mafresh chala on Shabbos. So are you allowed to eat? Are you allowed to eat? And then you won't be mafresh chala. There's no, they never instituted a nisa tevel. They just instituted a mitzvah of hafreshes chala, the chalas chutzlort. Or should I assume no? They instituted a nisa tevel. And when you mach ochav halach lachakach mafresh libisov, then it's matan nisa tevel mafresh. So not kaminis if it's a pesach chalis b'shabbos and they have chametz dika, you have chametz dika chalas for Friday night meal and Shabbos morning meal. So do you say you're allowed to eat and then and you won't be mafresh chalas? You're not allowed to eat. Or do you say no? You're not allowed to eat. It's a nisa tevel. It's only muta if you plan to be. To take off the Issa Tevel and Mafreya. But if you know in advance, you're not allowed to be Mafresh on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat the Chalas. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheita quotes a Machlokes, like Dodom about that. Machlokes in the days of the Achronim. It's usually assumed that there is an Issa Tevel, even a Chalas Chutzlot. And with the Hafrasha Libesof is Matal and Mafreya. We don't assume the other way. Some say the other way. It's only a mitzvah of Frasha. I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said like that, if I'm not mistaken. It's only a mitzvah of Russia. It's not that it's matter the Yisit Tevel and Mafreya. It's usually assumed the other way. So the Gemara, Rabina first thought that just like the Gersh and his Geyer says the bracha, he can't say the bracha before he's Tevel. It's not true. It's not Kiddushan of Mitzvah of Tzivano. He's not Jewish yet, so he can't say the bracha before. So then did he have it? He said that he'll say the bracha after. So just like you can say Birchas HaMitzvah after, so you can say Birchas HaNenen after. So then the Gemara says wrong. We don't paskan like that. V'loyhi. We don't accept Rabbeinu's opinion. Hosmeikar gabal achazi. Hosmeikar gabal achazi. V'holi yitchi yitchi. By the Gershon is Gar. Kach tiknu chachomen. Melchatchil is not a bit of evidence if you forgot to say the bracha before. If you got to say the bracha before, maybe you can never say the bracha after. Maybe there is no such thing. That's the Poshep Shat in Gemara. That Birchas HaMitzvah must always be recited over L'Asiyosam. And if you already did the mitzvah, you can't say the bracha later. But over here by the Ger, Kach Tikna Chachamim from the very outset. Mekor Gabelcha. Mekor Gabelchazi. So Kach Tikna Chachamim. So this Gemara is that this is a big machlokes. The Rambam and the Orzarua, the Shach and Yeredei, Sim and Yutes discusses this. Usually, when a shochet is about to shech the bema, so he cites a bracha. Shekeshan the mitzvah itself, mitzivano ala shchita. You're not mechuyev to do shchita, but if you do it, it sounds from the Rambam. The Kesa Mishnah understood the Rambam. The Rambam wrote his sefer on mitzvahs. And he lists off which are the 613 mitzvahs. So he lists as one of the mitzvahs to shecht. What do you mean it's a mitzvah to shecht the behemah? Once a day, every day. How often they have a mitzvah to shecht the behemah? So the Ravid is Masig on the Rama. It's not a mitzvah to shecht the behemah. It's an iser asay. It's an iser asay. But it doesn't. It's a matir shchit, it's a matir. But why did the Rama count that as a mitzvah? So Soloveitchik thought, like Rav Chaim Berlin, I have a volume we mentioned once. But the alumni from Yeshivas Chaim Berlin many years ago put out one volume of letters by Rav Chaim Berlin, Tshuvas by Rav Chaim Berlin. And then he asked if anybody knows the whereabouts of any more letters, please let us know and we'll put them together. So now they have three fat volumes of letters by Rav Chaim Berlin. Rav Chaim Berlin was the son of Dinitziv, the oldest son of Dinitziv, from the first wife. Rav Meir Bar Ilan, who for a period of time was the president of Yeshiva College, I think years ago, was the son, the youngest son of the Nitziv and the second wife. There was a big age gap between him and the older brother, so like 40 years in between them or something like that. A big difference. So in the collected letters of Rav Chaim Berlin, he thinks that the Rambam never meant it. The Rambam never meant to say that Shechita is a mitzvah. It just meant that it's a matir. You count a matir also, and sometimes you have brach on a matir, even if it's not a mitzvah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. But the Kesef Mishnah doesn't learn like that. The Kesef Mishnah learns, according to the Rambam, the simple reading of the Rambam, it's a mitzvah. If you when you're interested in eating meat, then it's a mitzvah to see to it that you should shechita. to mitzvah. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, whenever the shechet is about to shecht, they should recite a bracha shekishan tason ala shechita. Then there's a question, what if you're shechting an animal, a kosher animal, but you know in advance that it has a broken leg in such a way that it's a treifa? So shechitas treifa is chal, it's mitar medei nevela, it's not mutav achila, it's a treifa, but it removes, there won't be any tumas nevela. So that's a machlokes Rashi and the other Rishonim, whether you recite the bracha when you're about to shecht an animal that you know in advance is a treifa. So Rashi's opinion is that shechitas treifa, you also say a bracha. We don't accept Rashi's opinion. So the question there in Siman Yutes and Yerideya, the beginning, Yerideya begins with Hilcha Shechita. So if you know, the Sheikh knows in advance that this animal is a Sufik Trefa. If he knows about a Trefa, he shechted without a bracha. He knows that it's a Sufik. What's a Sufik Trefa? An Afula. If an animal fell down a flight of stairs, so you're afraid that maybe it broke some ribs. And if the rib is going to have a jagged edge because it broke, then it can puncture a hole in the lung. So the animal breathes in and out, and the lungs blow up like a balloon. And if you have a jagged edge, a sword there or a knife there, it's going to make a hole in the lung. It'll be a trefa. So the behemoth that's in the fula is a suffix trefa. And you don't see a bracha in advance, and maybe a bracha about dollar, unless you're going to shecht 20 behemoths. And one of them is in the fula. So you said a bracha on the other one. Okay. But if you're only shechting one animal, and it's a sufik treif, you don't say a bracha in advance. So the Ramah says, you shech the animal, and you check to see if it has any holes in the lungs, and if it's not a treif, then you say the bracha after. So the Shach says, wait a minute, it's not so poshut. That's a big machlekes. The Ramah's opinion is that you never say a bracha lachar asiyosum. A birchus ha-mitzvah. You never say a bracha. One and only exception to the rule, was not exactly, by the ger. The ger is tevil, you say the bracha lachar asiyosim, because hakate gavra lo chosi. He's not Jewish before, he can't say a bracha. So kat tiknum milach atchilum. The Gemara there in Pesachim Dav Zayin has another exception to the rule. When you do netilas lulav, so we do nanuim. So we say the bracha, we pick up, you shouldn't say the bracha on the dalmini before you pick it up. That's called oiva the oiva. Why did the Gemara say kolamitzis kulam merach aleim oiva lasiyosim? Why didn't they say kaidim? Why do you use such a funny expression, a verb, oiver l'asiyosam? And I had to dig up a pasuk in Tanakh that oiver has the meaning of in advance. Why don't they say koidim? Koidim is an easier word in Hebrew. So the Baalei HaTosfos came up with this call. You have to recite the bracha immediately before. If they would have said koidim, you could interpret that you can say, recite Birchas HaMetzah half an hour before. Oiver l'asiyosam means it should be immediately before. How do they know this is true? Because the Loshon oiver, okay, but the Gemara says, when do you recite, the Gemara Meracha says, when do you recite the bracha on the Tefillin Shel Yad? When you have it on your arm already and you're about to tighten it. Bein Hanocha L'Kshira. He's about to tie it and make it tighter. Once you say the bracha, when you're taking out the Bayi Shel Yad from the Tefillin Zekel. The answer is that's too far in advance. You have to have mamash on your arm. You're about to tighten it. It should be Oiva L'Asiyosu. So the Gemara assumes it doesn't make sense to say the bracha on the dalmini before you pick them up. That's over the oiva. But once you picked it up, you yotzei the mitzvah already, even if you didn't do any nanuim. So the Gemara says that's correct, and tilos lulav is another exception to the rule. The ger is one exception to the rule. Akate gavad ochazi is not Jewish. He can't say kedushan v'sotso v'tzivano. So kach tikno chachamim, the ger should say the bracha tavol v'yola, lachar asiyosam. And the other exception to the rule is by netilas lulav, by the dalad minim, because you can't say the bracha before you pick it up. After you pick it up, you're yotzei already. So you have no brayer. So it's kach tikno chachamim, lachar asiyosam. So the Tosfos outsmarted the Gemara. The Tosfos suggests that Eitzah, you can pick it up and hold the Esrog upside down. That's what we do. We pick it up and hold the Esrog upside down. Some Sephardim have the meaning, they hold it in the wrong hand. They hold the Esrog in the right hand. The Gemara said, you're supposed to hold the Lulav in the right hand if you're a righty. You hold the Lulav in the right hand and the Esrog in the left hand, because the Lulav has three quarters of the mitzvah. And the Esrog is only one quarter of the mitzvah, so you should always hold in your hand. You should hold both in the same hand, so that it would appear from the Gemara that that's not right. You should hold the lulav in one hand and the Esrog in the other hand. So Mishon holds even Ma'akev and Yevet. You hold both in the same hand, you're not yet to anything. So you should always be careful to hold the lulav in the right hand and the Esrog in the left hand. If a person is a lefty, it's a machlokes, so it's a serious shaila, because Rabbeinu Chananel holds that you're not yotze b'dieved. The Magen Avraham quotes Rabbeinu Chananel printed on the sign of the Vilna edition of the Talmud Bavli, that if you hold the esrog in the right hand, the lulav in the left hand, you're not yotze. So if you hold both in one hand, hasvara also that you're not yotze. You must say, this is what you have to do. And there's a machlokes, if a person is a lefty, Should he hold the lulav in the left hand? Because the left hand by him is like the right hand. Maybe for some reason or another, you don't go basa yimin, it's moldy day. So left-handed people have to, they recommend the Shulchan Aruch, they should shake the lulav twice. They should do it once holding the lulav in the left hand. That should be the normal way. They're lefties, they should hold, the lulav has 3/4 of the mitzvah. And then the esrog should be in the right hand, but because there was another opinion, the dafke not, even a lefty should hold the lulav in the right hand, so the left-handed people should check the lulav twice. So the Bali Atesis outsmarted the Gemara. They say, hold the esrog upside down. So it's oiva las yosan. It's not oiva the oiva, but it's still in advance. You can't say mirag be nafek be. And others say, we outsmart, other Svartim outsmarted the Gemara, not just Ashkenazim. Svartim also outsmarted the Gemara. They hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, they say the bracha, and they switch hands. Yeah. So the Bala Amora says, they're in Pesachim Dav Zayin. What do they outsmart the Gemara? The Gemara says that this is an exception to the rule. That on Dalad Minim, he said the bracha l'achar asiyosam. It's a pella. How come the Bali Atosha, they thought they outsmarted the Gemara, and we don't do like the Gemara? The Gemara said, that's a bracha that you say, lachar asiyos. But from the Gemara here, it would appear, the Shach says, the simple reading of the Gemara is like the Rambam, that the one and only case that you say the bracha lachar asiyos is by the Ger, and the Gemara, the Emsalm says, one more case, shay, by the Dalad Minim, that's all. And you never, just like by eating food, you never say the bracha after. So too by mitzvahs, you don't say the bracha after. Yeah, the bracha can only be recited over l'asiyosim before you do the mitzvah, not after. So the one who disagrees with the Rambam has it by Birchas Harrison, that if the chosen already gave the ring, and they didn't, no one said the bracha in advance, Masha Nasek V'Nasef Harfan, you can't say the bracha. Let's say a person put on talis and tefillin before Misha Yakir, so he's not supposed to say a bracha then. But then when it comes Mashiach, he can say the bracha then. It is Oivel Asiyosim. He's still going to wear the talis and the tefillin another while. It's Oivel Asiyosim the way it is. The Gemara says you should touch the tefillin. It looks more Oivel Asiyosim. Strictly speaking, if you don't touch it, you're still wearing the talis and the tefillin. So it is Oivel Asiyosim. Shabbos, what if he already took off the talis and the tefillin the end of Shachris? Now he realizes he never said a bracha because he put it on before Mashiach. He never said a bracha, not after the Tachna, not after Ashri, Volatil. He never said the bracha. So the Rambam says, Mashanasa Kvanasa Fafan. It's too late, you can't say a bracha, and that's a simple, the Shach said, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. And the Or Zeruah disagrees. Or Zeruah has a comment on the last Mishnah in Psochim. Mishnah says, the common practice used to be that you used to shech the chagiga on Erev Pesach. That's not the chagiga that you mechuyev min haTorah to bring. The Gemara has, in the first paragraph of chagiga, quotes a Tosefta, the first paragraph of chagiga, Gimel mitzvahs and stavi Yisrael bali osam laregel. When the Jews are ill laregel, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, they become obligated to observe 3 mitzvahs of korbanos, ria chagiga, and simcha. They have to bring a korban chagiga. The korban chagiga is a shlomim. So the Gemara says the shchit of the korban chagiga has to take place on Yontav. If you shecht at an Erev Yontav, you're not yotze the chagiga. So why was there a chagiga sarbo? So the Gemara says that's a different din. There's a din, the Pesach has to be nechal ala sova. You shouldn't eat korban Pesach when you're starving. You should eat a little bit in the meal and not eat the korban Pesach at the end of the meal. Ala sova. That's why we eat afikomen at the end, zechel korban Pesach, that they used to eat it ala sova. So that chagigas habasa was introduced by the chachamim. It's not in chumash. We want to have you should eat ala sova, So they introduced, some people didn't have enough money to afford meat all year long, but once a year they had to eat meat on Pesach night. You have to, whether you like it or not. Even if you're a vegetarian, you have to choke on it and you have to eat a little Korban Pesach. So in order that it should be Allah Sova, so they used to bring a Chagigas HaBa'asim. So there's a, so the whole purpose of the whole purpose of the Chagiga is to first eat Besar Chagiga and then eat Besar HaPesach. Eat the Besar HaPesach after the Chagiga Sabas, Allah Sova. So there's a machloikis in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Pesachim. Machloikis Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Biruch ala Pesach poteres hazevach, or Biruch ala Pesach loy poteres hazevach. If he said the bracha, that's how Rashi and Tosfos learn. It's talking about the bracha that one recites when he eats the Chagiga, when he eats the Korban Pesach. Some Achroinim want to suggest, if you look in the back of the Gemara Pesachim, on that last Mishnah, I think of Shlomo of Vilna, one of the Dayanim of Vilna wants to say pshat, it's not that you're talking about the bracha when you're eating the Korban Pesach, you're talking about the bracha when you shech the Korban Pesach, when you shech the Chagiga Sabaosa. Since there's a din of Iker in Tofel by Bichas HaNenin, Biruch HaLikah Potas HaTfeilo, so the Rishalmi interprets the din in the last Mishnah, Machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and the last Mishnah Pesachim is Rabbi Shmuel holds the din of Iker in Tofel applies even to Bichas HaMitzvah. If you have one mitzvah, that's Tofel to the other. Where do you have a mitzvah that's Tofel to another mitzvah? Every mitzvah is independent, no? Chagigas HaBa'asar is a tofel to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The whole purpose of Chagigas HaBa'asar is in order that the Korban Pesach should be Nechal Ala Sova. And there's a Tosfos on Daf Ayin in Pesachim, a Tosfos quotes a Rishalmi that why did they introduce the Korban Pesach should be Nechal Ala Sova? It's a din midrabanan because by Korban Pesach only there's a special din, Etzim Ala Sishbrubo, there's an Isa Shvira Setzim. Not allowed to break any bones in the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach has to be Bashnasa before the first birthday. If it's already 1 year old, it's Pesach. If Rav Pesach Shavashnasa, like a Chatur Shavashnasa, it's Pesach. So Pesach has to be within the first year. Unlike human beings, that every day of the year you have the 300, let's say, and 65 days in the Goyish year. So every year they have approximately the same number of people are born by human beings. By behemoths, it's not so. There's a season when the behemoths are born. The season is approximately before Pesach. So the behemoths, and it's a behemoth daka. Korban Pesach, he can't bring a behemoth gas. It has to be behemoth daka. And it has to be 8 days old. So it's not going to be too much more than 8 days old. This is the season when they're born. So they're going to be very small. If you save it till next Pesach, it'll be avosh nasa, it will be puzzle. So it wasn't so big. So it's not so big, so the bones are not so strong. So you have to be careful not to break any bones. And the din of Shvira Setzim, the Rambam says, even applies not only to break a bone and to eat the marrow inside. Let's say you're going to chew the whole bone and swallow the whole thing. The whole bone is very soft. You want to chew the whole thing. So the Rambam says, it's still the Nisa of Shvira Setzim. Question, where the Rambam got it from? But that's what he writes. One is in violation of the Issa of Shvira Setzim, even if he eats everything by the Etzim. It's still an Issa Shvira Setzim. So some people haven't seen any meat since last year, Korban Pesach. Some people are vegetarians. And some people can't afford. Meat is expensive, very expensive. So some people only eat flesh once a year, on Leil HaSeder. So we're afraid that the people, if they're excited about fulfilling the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, they're excited they haven't had a piece of meat since last Pesach. So we're afraid that they may chew into the bone accidentally and violate Shvira Setzim. So that's why the Chachamim said you should first eat Chagigas HaBa'asar, the Pesach should be Nechal Ala Sova, when you're not starving. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have the Chachma that we do. Nobody fasts on Tainas B'chorvus. Everybody goes to a Siyum. In the days of the Gemara, some people really fasted on Tainas B'chorvus. A lot of people, they were busy preparing for Korban Pesach, like women on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. They don't have time to eat. They're starving when it comes Leil Yom Tov. So, on Leil Pesach, a lot of people will accidentally violate the din of Shvira Setzim. They'll bite into the Korban Pesach, not noticing they're chewing the bone. So the Chachamim introduced, there's an Iker and a Tofel. The mitzvah really is to eat Korban Pesach. there's an issa not to do shveira tzetzim. So the Chachamim recommended is not chulin bazor. If you magdish chagigas harbas, it's a shlamim. You can be magdish a shlamim. That's not a problem. You can be makriv shlamim whenever you want. So they used to bring a shlamim on our Pesach, start the meal with the chagigas harbas, and only eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. So one tan is of the opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, that since the ikir is the Korban Pesach, biruch ala ikir, potar is hatvel. But biruch ala, if he said a bracha on the al achilas ha-pesach, then he doesn't have to say bracha al achilas ha-zevach. But if he says only, he said first the bracha al achilas ha-zevach, then that's not the ikir, that's the tofel. The biruch ala tofel, loy potar is a ikir, has to say a bracha on the Korban Pesach. So the Ozerua asks, Ozerua assumes that we're talking about the bracha that's recited when you're eating the two. And you always eat the chagiga before you eat the Korban Pesach. So how can the Mishnah say biruch ala Pesach, potar is hazevach? It never happens like that. First you eat the zevach, then you eat the Pesach, ala sofa. So how can it be biruch ala Pesach, potar is hazevach? I mean, I eat the chagigas habasa first, and then I'm going to say the bracha on the yikar later. No. When you have an yikar and a tofel, if you eat the tofel before the yikar, then you do say a bracha on the tofel. Let's say the person has baked potatoes with butter on it, or margarine, or has baked potatoes with salt on it. And he wants to lick the margarine first. He wants to lick the salt first, before he eats the potato. If you eat it all together, then you say, Bari Pri Hadama. You don't say a bracha on the salt or on the butter. But first you lick the butter, and then you're going to eat the potato. Then you do have to say a bracha on the tofu. So first you're going to eat the chagigas habos. How does Rabbi Shmuel say? Before the Korban Pesach. That's the problem. So the Ozerua says, he gives an ukimta pshat. Mishnah is only talking, that last Mishnah is talking about a rare case. The fella ate his chagigas habosa and he forgot to say the bracha. Doesn't say that in the Mishnah, but that's what he interprets. He ate the chagigas habosa, he forgot he got to say a bracha. He hasn't eaten any chagigas since last year, Pesach. So he forgot to say the bracha in advance. Now he's about to begin eating the Korban Pesach, so now he has a shayla. Should he say two brachas? One bracha, lachar asiyosam, on the chagiga, al achilas hazevach, and another bracha, al achilas ha-pesach. Or maybe you should say now, let him just say the bracha on the yikar and he'll cover the tofel. So the Ozerua said, that's the case where there's a machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Mishmuel in the Mishnah. And you see from the Mishnah, it's understood, self-understood. It's talking about a case that you're saying the brichas ha-mitzvah, lachar asiyosam. He didn't have a Rambam, Ozerua, but he's in disagreement with the Rambam. He doesn't say he's disagreeing with the Rambam. He didn't have any Rambam. As a rule was from the Ashkenazim, not from the Sfarim. Didn't have. That's the Ozerua's pshat in the Mishnah. So some Achrayim say that the Mishnah is not talking about the bracha that you recite when you're about to eat it, because then you don't understand the Mishnah. It must be talking about the bracha that you recite when you shecht it. Al shchitas hazerach, al shchitas ha-pesach. And I think Reb Shlomo LaVilna maybe has that. One of the Vilna Dayanim has it in the back of the Vilna Shas. And Psochem Dav Zayin. And Dav Zayin. And the last Mishnah in Psochem. The very last Mishnah. And if it's on the Shechita, now it does make sense. The Korban Pesach is always brought after Tom Shal Ben Abayin. That's the one exception to the rule. Korban Pesach brought after Tom Shal Ben Abayin. And the Chagigas HaBos is brought before Tom Shal Ben Abayin. Also the same Kasha. You're going to shech the Chagigas HaBos way before the Shechitas HaPesach. So the Pesach is going to be after the Tom Shal Ben Abayin. So it's also not the same time. Also a problem. I don't know what you do with the Kasha, with the Ozerua's Kasha. He gave an Ukim Tepshat. Hacham Askinon. The Mishnah goes in that rare case. Anyway, Halacha L'maisa, it's a machlokes, the Ozerua and the Rambam. So the Ozerua thinks if you did a mitzvah, you already took off the tefillin. If you wait 5 hours later, so the bracha doesn't relate to the tefillin that he took off 5 hours ago. But as he takes off the tefillin, he realizes he forgot to say a bracha, because he put it on before Mishayakir, and he never said the bracha. So the Ozerua says you can say the bracha later, and the Rambam holds he cannot. Masha Nasik Vanasi, he cannot say the bracha l'acharasiyos. So what's with that Ramah? The Ramah says that if you shech the behema that fell down a flight of stairs, you have to. So it may or may not be a treifa, and our practice is not like Rashi. We don't say a bracha on shechitas treifa, even though the shechita has been tar as chal, it's been tar midei nevelo. So what should he do regarding a bracha? So the Ramah said you should shech the behema sofik treifa, check to see if they're ready. If there's any nekev in the lung, and if it turns out there's no nekev in the lung, then you say the bracha after, like the ozarua. So it means that the shach says it means that we paskin like the ozarua. The Ramos paskin like the ozarua. So others say not necessarily. It could be that just like tova viola gear, the takonis chachomim milachatchila was may hazmekar gavra lechazi. He can't say the bracha before because he's not Jewish yet. And the same thing by the Dalet Minim. He can't say the bracha before, according to the Gemara. He can't say the bracha before. It'll be over the over. So you have no choice. Said kach tik nacham to say the bracha l'achar asiyosim. So maybe whenever there's a sofik treifa, he's shechting a sofik treifa. Maybe also he say there. Can't say the bracha before. It may turn out that it's a treifa. It'll be a bracha l'batona. Because we don't follow Rashi's opinion. So maybe over here it's like akati gavra l'achozi. Maybe Dafka, in this case, the Ramah would say you can say bracha l'achar asiyosim. But if you took off your tefillin, and then you remind yourself that you never say the bracha in advance, maybe there the Ramah would agree with the Rambam that you shouldn't say the bracha after. Maybe the case of the sofik treifa, the nefula case, maybe it's like the tefillas ager, and maybe it's like the Dalet Minim, that since you couldn't have said the bracha before, so kach tikna chacham say the bracha after. That's a discussion there. How did the psak of the Ramah that you boidik to see it's not a trip, then say the bracha? Doesn't mean we outright paskan like the ozarua, or does it mean that that's an exception to the rule, like over here? Hakati gavra l'chazi. The Baalei HaTosfos had a meaning that not only does the ger say the bracha, Tavol viola, akati gavol. That's what they say. Yeshua and Marvit Tfilas Gerim, showing by Ger. But others say it doesn't go on Tfilas Gerim. But a lot of times when a person washes until it's a dime, a person is table in a mikveh, so to be told in the mikveh, you have to take off your shoes and socks, take off all their clothes, shouldn't have any chatzitzas if you're wearing clothing that's not tight. So there's no chatzitza. I remember a friend of mine. Who got smicha in the yeshiva was a chaplain in the American Army in the Philippines, and he was married at the time. And his wife had to go to mikveh, so there was no mikveh, so she had to be tovel in the Pacific Ocean. So she was always afraid of sharks. So she would be tovel with a loose bathrobe. It wasn't tight. The sharks are going to bite through the bathrobe. It's not going to help, but psychologically it helped her. She was nervous about the sharks, so she was yanked with the loose bathrobe. Then they had an Asik, she had a baby boy, and they needed a bris. So the only moel who was available to do the bris was the doctor, a Jewish doctor, on the army base, but he was absolutely not religious at all. So that's the question, is it proper to have a mumer perform the bris milah? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Soloveitchik had a psak that he said he worked out with his father. It depends who the parents of the baby are. If the parents are observant people, here the boy was a musmuch from the yeshiva. If the parents are religious people, and we can rely on them that they're going to perform the bris milah later, so let them postpone till they get a Shem Shabbos moel to do the bris milah. But if the parents are not observant, and at that time, this was a long time ago, at that time, after the Second World War, a lot of people were afraid to perform bris milah on their children, because the only way, sometimes the Nazis only identified a man as a Jew, because they looked to see if he had a bris milah. So that could put your life based on it. People were still shaken up from the Holocaust then. They were afraid to put, many did not perform bris milah, because they were afraid. Their children may be killed because of the fact that they're going to have a bris milah. So if you're afraid, and they say, the doctors all say that when the baby's only 8 days old, he doesn't even feel anything. When the baby cries, he's not crying from the pain of the incision. He's crying because he's cold. because they took off his diaper, he's chilly. But the baby doesn't feel anything. When you wait till a month later, a couple of months later, then the baby will feel the pain. So if the parents are not so observant, and there's room to be concerned, if you'll postpone the bris till you get a Shem Shabbos Mo, they may not want to do the bris Mila later. The name should rely on those poskim that you can do the bris. There's a Rebbe Kevega there with a Bir Agro. You can rely on those Rishonim that a mumer can also do the bris Mila. But here the boy was a chaplain. He was a very learned chaplain. He used to give a shiur afterwards, years later. He used to give a shiur on Daf Yomi and Rehobot for Rav Simcha Cook. Whenever Rav Cook had to come to America, he would stop for him.
Rabbi, why isn't Mila Bismana more of a reason to push even if the parents are from?
It's a question whether Mumer is kosher to do a Bismi.
And then just do a Tafas Dam verse afterwards. And then do a Tafas Dam verse afterwards.
So you may as well wait to do the Bismi later.
Even though
Mila Bismana? Yeah. So Tosfos had a minig, many have that minig, that you don't say a bracha on the Tilus Adan until after you wash your hands. Maybe your hands are dirty now. But when you go to mikveh, you have to take off all your clothes. You shouldn't have any chatzitzes. So you just touch your shoes, you just touch your body. So they had a minig that they only say the bracha on the Tilus Adan lachar asiyasan. And after the tevel, and the brisa tevel liyolah, even if the brisa, the original brisa, is going on a ger, but their meaning was that by everybody say the bracha l'achar asiyos, because they're that concerned. Maybe the person will make a mistake and say the bracha before he washes his hands. So that's the Mishnah Berurah has a whole bir halacha on this, and hilchos netilas yadayim. And he quotes all the Rishonim who say, he's pushing that you shouldn't observe that minute. He quotes the Rishonim who say, if you know your hands are clean, so say the bracha over l'asiyasmi. You don't have to observe the loy plug. It's keneged adin to say the bracha l'achar asiyasmi. So they have in the biographies of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, when he went by boat from Europe there, it's Israel. So he told his wife, for some reason or another, he decided then, from now on, you should say the bracha l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos before you light the candles, and say the bracha ala tefila before you go to the mikveh, before you tovel in the mikveh, and I'm going to say the bracha on the tilus yadayim before I wash my hands, because that's the ikar adin. You really should say the bracha over l'asiyosim. Here it's a little bit over l'asiyosim, because so the Rishonim say, because the Gemara says in the beginning of Saita that if a person washes in tilus yadayim and he doesn't do niguf, he doesn't dry the hands, kilo echa lechem tome. It's not proper. You have to dry your hands before you touch the bread, before you eat the food. So in a certain sense, it's considered as if he's still in the middle of the mitzvah. But that's also not proper. The bracha should be recited prior to the beginning of the mitzvah, not in the middle of the mitzvah. So it's a difficult minute. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Bir Halacha. He quotes the Rishonim who are pushing against this meaning of the Bali Atesis. The Gemara has health recommendations. The Rambam doesn't always follow all the recommendations that the Gemara has for health. The Rambam follows the doctors of his generation. So the Chasam Sofer points that out. The Gemara says that it's maybe detrimental to your health if you eat fish and meat that were cooked together. You may develop tzaras. So the Magen Avraham says it's already many centuries that the medicine has been developing. You never heard that anybody's getting sick from eating meat that was cooked together with fish. He doesn't think we have to observe that concern today. Then they quote the Nerev Yehuda says, we're not sure. Maybe you should observe it. He says the Rambam left out. Many people said the Rambam left out that statement from the Gemara. The Rambam was following the doctors of his generation who didn't consider that dangerous. The Rambam followed the same attitude that the Gemara has. You have to follow the doctors of your generation. So the doctors in the generation of the Gemara gave all of these recommendations, and gave that recommendation not to eat fish that's cooked with meat. You should follow doctors of your generation. Every generation, medicine keeps on advancing. We should follow doctors of our generation, whatever they say. So the Nadi Buddha said, that's why the Rambam, the Chassam Sofer says, Chassam Sofer writes in Shul, that's why the Rambam left out that din of fish and meat that were cooked together, because the Rambam was a doctor, and he held that you follow the doctors of your generation. So we should all follow the doctors of our generation, which we don't do. We should follow the doctors of our generation. Then the Gemara talks about Al Talmud Lefnei Hanoshim B'Shosh Chozes Min Amet Neisha Ani Merakei the Bo Lefnei. It's a Malach HaMobis. If women go to a funeral and the men are going to walk behind the women, that's a Sofik Sakona, because the Malach HaMobis is going to be there. So that's why in Yerushalayim, I think, the Chevra Kaddish Yerushalayim has such a Kepeda. They won't allow women to go to the funeral. Based on the Zohar also, Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Zohar, but it's based on the Gemara as well. Shouldn't follow the women, says Al Talmud Lifnei Anoshim Shoshechozet Merameis Lifnei Anoshim, to follow the women. So some are makbid on that. The Gemara talks about the 10 dinim in Koshal Bracha, and we only follow the 4 out of the 10 dinim. Chaim Ol Ishtifa Adocha, that we spoke about yesterday. The Gemara says Chai, 4 lines from the bottom of Nun Aleph and Aleph Chai. It shouldn't be Poshab, that shouldn't be Mazuk. It was Birchasa Oretz. What does that mean? So you look in the Rabbeinu Yonah, and Shulchan Aruch is quoted from the Rabbeinu Yonah. When you say Noida Lecha, the one who's benching is the one holding the cup. The Gemara says he's supposed to pick up the cup at Tefach. No. Magbi, the top line on Nun Aleph and Bez Magbi. If you're sitting on the floor, you pick it up. Sitting by the table, you pick it up at tefach above the table. It's not miyakibir yet, but that's a person who's nervous. He's afraid his hand shakes, and he's going to hold a cup of wine. An older person is afraid he's going to spill all the wine. He's going to shake. So don't pick it up. Have someone else say the Havdalah, the Kiddush, who's not so nervous. But if there's no one else, and he's saying Kiddush and Havdalah, say, don't pick it up. It's not miyakibir yet. Remember, I once went to take out a girl. So I ate by the girl's family on Friday night. So the father was so nervous. His daughter was such a difficult girl. She gave the parents a hard time. So he was so nervous that she may not agree to... I was going to date her. I went to meet her at her home to eat by her. He was so nervous. He was a Talmud Chacham. He didn't pick up the cup of wine. He was afraid he was going to spill all the wine. So, but the Yevid, we were yotze with his kiddush. So Rabbi Yonah says here that what does it mean with Birchas Haaretz at the end of Noida Lecha, when you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael, that's when you do the Mezigah. You don't do the Mezigah before. You have Yayin Chai until the end of Noida Lecha. And then you do the Menziga. So then the Rabbeinu Yonah asks, but it has to be Malek? So one answer he gives, from the end of Noida Lecha on, it's going to be Malek. The beginning is not Malek. He gives another answer. That's also Malek. If the cup is 3/4 full, and then you're going to do Menziga, the last quarter is going to be, it's more than half full, it's almost full to the top. That doesn't have to be Malek Al Kol Gadosof. Havdalah, the meaning is, you have Malek Al Kol Gadosof. But for Kiddush, they say the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that if you think you're going to spill a little bit, so don't fill that up to the top. Mali depends how much do you think will be there at the end of the Kiddush. If you're nervous that you're going to spill, then don't fill it up to the top. You have to have a revius on what you have. You have to make sure you have a revius. It should be towards the top. It doesn't have to be Mali Mamish. Sometimes under the chuppah, the people are so nervous. You have different people saying all the brachas under the chuppah. So the first two rabbis spilled a little wine, third one spilled a little wine, so it's not molly. So they filled it up again. It's almost full to the top. They keep on filling it up to the tippy top, and then it spills over. So they keep on spilling it. It is Molly. Rabbi Elyonim says that's called Molly. And of Kovet HaKoyis, not to B'Shtei Yodim, whenever you bench on HaKoyis and say Kiddush, it's the Kovet HaBracha, to pick up the Koyis with both hands and then to hold it in the right hand. What if the person is a little nervous that he's going to spill it? So his hand is shaking. So if he holds the left hand to hold up the right hand, that's not a problem. But if he holds the left hand to hold the Koyis, that's a Shaila. So the Gemara says, this was an old Shaila. Amar Rabbi Yechon, Rishonim Shoalu. Rabbi Yechon was the first generation of Amoraim. He says, the earlier Chachamim, in the days of the Tanoim, means he was the first generation of Amoraim. Days of the Tanoim, they had a suffix, small marshit, sayer, liyamin. I'm holding the cup with my right hand, I hold with the left hand on the side of the cup to make sure that I don't spill it. Is that permissible or not? So the Gemara says, since it's a Amar Avashi, Chol Rishonim Boilu, Leipshit Lohu, we should be machmer. And now never look on me. We should be machmer on that. Shouldn't hold it with the left hand. Yeah, Tyson says, what's the problem? So Tyson says, it's a long benching. Tyson says, they couldn't visualize that someone is nervous, they're going to spill. I guess all the people have shaky hands. These are the Baletas, they didn't live so long. They probably died much younger than we died today. So they didn't live so long till they saw all the people with shaky hands. So they say, it must be Pshat and Gemara. It's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Tevis. So it's the longest benching of all year long. You have to say Ritzeh, Yalav Yavai, and Ala Nisan. Everything. That's what Tyson says. So if they ask you, where is there a Gemara that talks about Shabbos? Rosh Chodesh Chodesh, B'Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh, Tevis. Tyson's over here. Says that that's what the Shana and the Gemara was. But the small mashut zayad imin, because it's such a long bench, and the longest bench of the year. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman was married to a character, Yalta. The Gemara has all kinds of funny stories about her. She was a tough cookie. So the practice always was in their home that whenever the husband benched alakos, he gave Mishagar the kos to Ishtoi. He gave the kos to his wife. She should have a bracha when she has babies. It should be a bracha. Pre-bitna shel isha mizbarach if she drinks when the kos shel bracha. So once they had a guest, and the guest didn't observe that minute, so she fell into a fit of fury, and she went to their wine cellar. Not a cellar, the attic, whatever. Also, this, the first wide line, Anun Alvan Beis. Also, the Zihara means of rage, and she went to the Bechamra, and she broke, they had 400 barrels of wine, so she opened up 400 barrels of wine to take a sip of each barrel of wine. So then the husband said, that's the Koishal Bruch. So one might have thought that he was joking or something. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this, no. You'd say that's considered drinking Koishal Bracha. Let's say someone said Kiddush, and everyone wants to drink a little bit from the Koishal Bracha. So you don't have to dafka drink for his Kois. If everybody has their own Kois, and they'll drink from their Kois. Any Kois that you fill up specially, the drink in connection with a Koishal Bracha, has the status of a Koishal Bracha. So they understand this Gemara literally. All the 400 barrels of wine were a Koishal Bracha, even though it's not the Kois that the Mizamin was holding at the time that he was benching Mizumin. That's what you see from this Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara has later about Havdalah. You hold the Kos of wine in your right hand. So we follow Bishul. You hold the cup of wine in your right hand. You hold the Bishamim in the left hand. So the first thing we say is Bari Piagofim. So that's why you hold the cup of wine in your right hand. Then when you say Bari Minim Bishamim, so in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Rav Yor that you switch hands. You put the Kos of wine in your left hand, hold the Bishamim in the right hand, because whenever you say a bracha, whether a Bichas HaMitzvah on the Lulav, on the Tilos Lulav, so you hold the Lulav in your right hand, or you say Brichas Anen, and you always hold it in the right hand if you are a righty. So since you're going to say Bari Minim Besamim, you say, I'm Besamim, there Havdola, Yavna, Rashi Tevis Yavna, I'm Besamim, there Havdola. So you hold the Pesamim in the right hand, then you hold the Kaisa in the left hand. A lot of people put down the Kaisa. The Paskim say, that's not right. You want the Bracha of Borim and Pesamim also to be Halakos. You want to enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha. He's saying the Borim and Pesamim in the middle of Havdalah. So just like the Bar Piagofen and the Havdalah is Halakos, so the Borim and Pesamim should also be Halakos. You should really hold it in your left hand. And the Sefer Imrei Noam was written by one of the Talmidim of the Gros, so we quote different comments that the Gros said on Maseches Brachas, and he said the Vilna Gaon held not like that. The Gemara had the Machlokes of Bishan and Bissel in the next Perek. What do you hold in the right hand, what do you hold in the left hand? The Gemara said, like Bissel, you hold a cup of wine in the right hand and Bissel in the left hand, and you leave it like that. So you hold the, let's say you hold in the right hand, you hold the Lula with the Hadasma, and in the left hand you hold the Esrog. You don't switch hands later on to put the Esrog in the right hand. The right hand you're holding the lulav. You hold the esrog in the left hand. Here, the right hand you hold the cup of wine. In the left hand, from the beginning to the end, you hold the besalim. And say, Barim Besalim, holding it in the left hand. So that's what they quote, was the practice of the Vilna Gaon. Then the parak ends off that he's supposed to recite Birchas Hamazon in a sitting position. The last two lines. Tana, we have a brisa. Ocha mahalech, he's walking. He's eating a sandwich while he's walking. So he should stop walking. When he benches, he should mevarach meuma. He should bench Birchas Hamazon and standing still shouldn't walk. What if he's eating in a standing position? Then more correct is he should sit down. The Gemara says, no, we hold, he should always sit down. Even if you're in a rush, even if you were walking when you were eating the sandwich, should always sit down. Always sit down. Is that only by bread when you're going to recite Birchas Hamazon? What about if you have other foods to eat? So some Rishonim say that, I think the Maharil quotes that, that it's unhealthy to eat while you're walking. And you should, and the Gemara says also in Gittin, the Gemara has a whole list of things that are health recommendations. They say even if you ate in a sitting position, if you jump up and you start walking away, it's also unhealthy. You should sit, you should remain seated till you finish saying Bar Nefashos for health purposes. The Gemara is going to have later at din, one of the disputes between Besham and Bisul at the beginning of the next parak is, you're supposed to recite Birchas Hamazon in the same place where you ate. What if by mistake you left? Are you mechuyev to go back to the original? You drove 5 minutes away. Are you mechuyev to drive back to bench Birchas Hamazon in the same place where you ate or not? So that was machlokes Bisham and Bisul. So Bisul said, L'chatchidish, supposed to agree with Bisham. L'chatchidish, you recite Birchas Hamazon in the same place where you ate. But if you left already, we're not matriach the person to go back. But if he will go back, Tov Ola Bracha, the Bisul will agree that more correct is to do like Bisham. Here we don't say that it's not proper. If you're machma like Beishamai, to recite Kriya Shema in the morning in a standing position, in the evening in a reclining position, the Gemara says, "Kedah Heisa Lachu Bichayecha." What did Reb Tarfon say? He threw himself to Sakana in the first barrack. He takes it to the Kriya. Sikant to the Atzmat Ne'alistim. The last line on Yud Amid Beis. So the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to be machma like Beis Shammai. So Tais says, how come over there you're not allowed, and over here we say Tov Ola Brocha? So Tais answers, no, Beis Shammai also agree. Beis Hillel also agreed to Beis Shammai. The more correct is you should go back and recite Birchas Hamazon in the same location. But if you went, you traveled already, went away, not mechuyev to go back. But they agree, l'chatchila you should do like Beis Shammai. So there's a three-way machlokes. What requires Birchas Hamazon in the same location? Let's say if you had a drink of coffee, there's no din you have to say Bar Nefashos in the same place. You can say Bar Nefashos in a different place. So some hold it's only on bread. It's done Birchas Hamazon bim komo. Others say Anol Chameshes Mene Dogan. If you had Cheerios or Wheaties. And others said Anol Shivas Aminim. Whenever you say either Shalosh Brachas, only ain't shalosh, so it's kedai to be machmer for that. And others say that since we're machmer for the shivas aminim, that you need brachah achroin abim kaimai, So it should be yeshiva also, like the last line over here, just like Ilchas HaKulu, Yoshev v'Mavach, you should always recite Berachas HaMazon in a sitting position, you have more yeshiva das. The same is true for Ala Michya and for Ala Geffen. A lot of times people say they're at a Kiddush and they have cake and cooking. It's Ala Michya standing, walking around. So it's more correct is you should sit down when you say Ala Michya, like you sit down when you recite Berachas HaMazon. Okay, so tomorrow I may not be a little late. I probably will be a little late because I'm supposed to give a chabur for the mass meeting. Okay, so I'll probably start this year about 1 o'clock or so. And we'll continue with the next pair. Okay, that's one.
I mean, somebody realizes on Shabbos that on the challah they're eating, no one is not for challah.